Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey. Well, hello, everyone. Good morning. Oh, man, you're by far the best-looking service. First two services, like, wow, what's going on? No, shut. It is really good to be able to be with you guys. What a joy to hang out with you amazing people. And I got to tell you right up front, you have amazing pastors in Pastor Rob and Monica. Would you give them a huge shout? Yes. They are awesome. We absolutely love them. Dear friends of ours. And we've actually vacationed together. So they're awesome people. We absolutely love them. My beautiful wife is here sitting right in the front. Wave your hand around, beautiful wife. Yes. Oh, woo. She is gorgeous. And she's actually Hispanic. We have any Hispanics here? One. All right, good. It's an international church here. All right, good. She's Hispanic. She's my little hot tamale. And and we got two amazing children. We live in Southern California. We pastor. We got a bunch of sites and all that. We have two amazing children. And we have a son, and he is he's about 20. I think he's 23 years old now. And so if you're in your early 20s, female, and, you know, and you're still looking, and fill out an application. You'll find that. No, Sean. He works out. He's all into fitness. He literally, I mean, he's like Mr. Cut, Mr. Fitness, wits up early. And we got a daughter, and she texts. That's it. And she's very good. She's really good at it. And we're real proud of her, too. She's just believing for a scholarship. It's awesome to be able to be with you guys. I do a ton of traveling because of all the coaching and campuses and speaking and different things that we do. And so a while back, a couple months back, I was on a flight, and I do a lot of flying, like I said. And we go out, and we go to the runway. They call it a tarmac if you don't travel a lot, but it's a runway. And you go out there, and the plane just kind of sat there for a half hour. And then I'm like, well, that's sitting a long time, you know. And then an hour goes by. Then an hour and a half goes by, then 2 hours go by, and I'm like, what in the world? Now, I'm a really upbeat person. The way you see me here is the way I am from the second I get up in the morning. Very upbeat, love being positive, I love embracing life, you know, but I got to tell you, after 2 hours being on the runway, the positive was starting to go down. And everybody around me was getting negative. Yeah, this is horrible. Why is it taking so long? And I'm all trying to be positive, you know, all trying to be a little Mr. Christian, you know. But after a while, I was like, yeah, come on, burn the plane down, you know. Crucify the pilot. And so everything's going on. Bring us Barabbas. So all this is going on, and finally I'm like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. So I get up, I walk back over to the restroom, about to open up the door, and the flight attendant's standing there, you know, and she looks at me, and she's just got the biggest smile. Now keep in mind, we've been out there for 2 hours. It's like 190 degrees, and she looks at me, and she's like, how you doing? And I'm thinking in my mind, why are you so happy? So I looked at her, and I just said, ma'am, I go, why are you so happy? And she's a flight attendant. She goes, well, I'm not supposed to talk about it at work, but it's Jesus that makes me happy. Now, how do you think I felt? I'm the pastor on the flight. To make it worse, she leans in. She goes, do you know Jesus? Seriously, she asked me that. And I'm like, apparently not. I thought I did. So it was just 2 months ago. She led me to the Lord, baptized me in the sink, and been a Christian now 60 days, and it's just good to be here. So I get off the flight, and then I get onto a shuttle, and the shuttle's going to take me to a hotel because the next morning I'm speaking at this place. And so I get on this flight, and I'm sitting in the back, and I'm starting to return some emails on my phone, and there's two ladies sitting in front of me. Now, let me stop right there and share with you. It was about the time, it was about a month after the book came out. Now, the book went on Fox News and Friends, and like 30, it was crazy. Like in one day, we had 14,000 emails come in about it. It was nuts. It was all over the place. It was going crazy for like several weeks and hit number one on iTunes, number two on Amazon, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? Now, keep that in mind. Now, back to the bus. I sit on the little shuttle. They're sitting in front of me. The book's really hot right then, you know, and we're doing all these TV things and interviews them. And they're sitting in front of me, and they're talking, and I could tell they're Christians, right? And so I'm sitting back there returning emails, no big deal. And one of them says to the other one, now watch this, one of them says to the other one, she goes, hey, she goes, have you heard about this book? And then the other one says, what book? And she goes, oh, it's a book called Quit Church. She goes, Quit Church? Who wrote that? And she goes, oh, I don't know, some pastor. His name is Chris. And she goes, he's not a pastor. He's an atheist. And she goes, well, I don't know if he's an atheist, but he's a jerk. And I'm sitting right behind them. What are the odds that I would be sitting right behind them? And so did I stop them? Not a chance. I wanted them to bury themselves as much as possible. So they continue to talk about me. And then finally, they're getting so wound up about it. She finally turns around and she goes, and she sees me, and she invites me into the conversation. She goes, can you believe this? And I said, what? And she goes, this book called Quit Church, have you heard of it? And I said, I have. I really have. And she goes, you have? And I said, yeah. She goes, have you read it? And I said, and I go, actually, I wrote it. And she goes, no, that's not true. And she grabs her phone, and she kind of starts Googling, and I know what she's doing. She's looking for my picture. She goes, da, 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 and she goes, we don't believe you. Like, you're not the author. Blah, blah, blah. And she lifts, no, no. She takes the phone, and she puts it right up to my face. And she goes, and she realizes it's me. It was awesome. And then they said, oh, this is the best part. Oh, we're so sorry. Blah, blah. Had we known you were sitting here, we wouldn't have gossiped about you. I'm like, spoken like a true Christian, you know. We'd have done it behind your back. And so this all goes on. Now, here's the interesting thing. Of course, the book isn't about quitting church, but there's a couple principles in the book. First of all, if you want anything good out of life, you have to quit. You want to lose weight, you got to change, you got to quit your eating habits. You want to gain some finances, you got to quit your spending habits. If you want to get a degree, you might have to quit watching so much TV. I don't know. But all I know is greatness only comes by quitting. It's the only way it happens. And there are 3,000 promises in the Bible, and every one of them are for you. Every one of them. But our problem is our approach towards church and the things of God is sometimes so casual that we miss out on all the promises of God. So if we would kind of quit our casual approach, man, there's so much more God has for our life. And so the concept, if you have to wrap it up in a sentence of the book, is if we go all in, God will go all out. That's the concept of the book. So that's why it says at the bottom, because your life would be better if you did. So that's the concept of the book. Now, Pastor Rob is starting a brand new series based on the book, Quit Church. A lot of churches are doing it nationwide, and I'm privileged enough to talk about week one. And week one is about the subject called loyalty. Say loyalty with me. Now, loyalty, you can't talk about loyalty without talking about attitude, because it always has to do with attitude. Now, how many would say in here, you have a very positive attitude? Let me see. 4, 5, good. Praise God. How many would say that sometimes you admittingly have a negative attitude? How many know somebody that has a negative attitude? How many are sitting next to someone that, no, because I see some of the wives going, talk to them, get them. How many have ever met someone that brings more joy when they exit the room than when they enter? You met someone like that? Like, really? You got, with the holidays coming up, you're like, oh God, here he comes. Get out of here, Uncle Bob. Anyway, we all know what that's like. Now, here's the thing. Attitude's an interesting thing because it shows up in our life. Maybe if something doesn't go right at work, or maybe if we don't like someone, or something happens, whatever, or someone driving, or this, that, the other thing, or whatever, towards a family member, we have this little attitude. Attitude picks up in our life, but unfortunately, not only does it pick up in our life, but it picks up in the life of the church. We don't like something, something doesn't go our way, and then the attitude starts to kick in. You know, there's a guy years ago when I was speaking regularly at our campuses, I kind of float around to the different ones and speak at different ones. We have live speakers at all of them. And I was speaking regularly at one of our campuses, and I'll never forget that I was sitting right there in the front row, you know, about 3 minutes before the service started. And in walks this guy I'd never seen before. His name was Glenn, I find out later. And he comes and he sits down in the front row right over here, and he just sits there, you know, and I'm on this side, and service is about to start. Now, have you ever met anybody that when you met them, or maybe you saw them somewhere, I'm sure you've ran into somebody where it's just like, they just flat out look intimidating. I'm talking flat out, like, this guy, he is like 6'2", he's, you know, he looks like a mobster. Maybe not the leader of the mob, but the guy guarding the leader. You know, he's just like, and he has glasses on, and he never takes them off. I baptized him, and he left them on. He's crazy. And so, he's totally like monster looking, about 6'2", and he just looks mobster. So I get up and I speak, you know, and it was funny, right before the service started, I leaned over and I go, hey, how you doing, man? I go, I'm Chris. I'm the pastor here. What's your name? And he talks mobster. He goes, name's Glenn. How you doing? I said, I'm doing okay. He pulls out a cannoli, starts eating it, and And so then, you know, I get up, I speak, I crack a couple jokes, you know, I'm getting some people to laugh, whatever. He doesn't even move. He's just like, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, he don't like me. He's going to kill me. And so all this is occurring. The offering comes by. I get done with the service. I sit down. We do offering where the little buckets come by and all that stuff at South Hills. And so I was sitting down there, and the associate pastor's up there praying for the offering. And I look over there, and I see Glenn. No joke. And he pulls up his pant leg, and he undoes a rubber band, and he has got, on his ankle, a grip of $100 bills. And he's like, one, two, three. And I'm leaning over. Keep counting. Four, five. You know, so throws a bunch of money in the offering. And I'm thinking in my mind, if he's got money on this ankle, what's on this ankle? Again, death. And so I'm thinking, oh gosh, he's going to kill me for sure. So a couple more weeks go by. He keeps coming back, keeps coming back. We do this series at the church called Family Month. It's our biggest series of the year. And everybody brings friends to it and all that stuff. But I'm like, okay, bring friends, blah, blah, blah. Next week, bring friends. So he calls up on I didn't know it was him. On a Thursday, I get a knock on my door. I'm working in the office. My assistant opens the door, and she goes, hey, Pastor Chris. I said, yeah. She goes, you have a call on line one. I go, yeah, I'm kind of busy. Tell him I'll call him back. And she said, oh, okay, I'll let Glenn know. I go, hold on a second. Don't do that. I'm never too busy for Glenn because, again, he'll kill me. And so I said, okay. I said, I'll take the message. And no joke, this is exactly how the conversation goes. I pick up the phone. I go, this is Chris. Chris, Glenn, I'm bringing 14 people to church on Sunday. Reserve the first three rows. And hangs up. That's it. No hello. No God bless you. Shalom. Nothing. Nothing. So I'm scared to death. I'm like, get the whole staff together. Okay, we got to go to Lowe's. We got to get the best rope money can buy. You know, we got to rope up three rows, you know, start strategizing it out on a whiteboard. And I'm all into it. So then Sunday morning rolls around. The first service starts at 8:30. I got there at 4 o'clock. I wanted to make sure in the morning that I was like, I can't mess this up because if those aren't roped off, I don't know what's going to happen. So I rope off the three rows, and I literally stand there waiting, you know. First service is like 15 minutes away. People are coming by 10 minutes. People start to come into the service, and they're looking over at the rope. We never rope things off, and they're like, what in the world, you know. And then no one did. About 3-4 minutes before the service started, he's not there. In comes a lady. She got a walker, you know, and she's like, she starts taking the rope off. I'm like, no, you know. And so walker falls over, the tennis ball at the bottom, bah, 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 the whole thing. And so finally Glenn comes walking in. And he doesn't have 14 people with him. He's got 21 first-time visitors with him. 21 people. Some of them were like, man, we're going to church. Some were like, we didn't have a choice. It was this or death. And so, and he just kept bringing friends. He was crazy. I'll never forget one time. he came up to me after the service. He goes, right before the service, it was a couple months after. And he says, you know why I sit in the front row? I said, I have no idea. He goes, if someone tries anything, I'll take care of it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, he wants someone to try something on me. He hasn't been able to inflict pain in almost 3 months now that he's a Christian, so he's a little upset. And the funniest thing was sometimes, you know, all the time, he'd sit in the same exact seat right there. And sometimes someone would be sitting there, and he would come in, and he wouldn't say anything. He'd just stand over him for a few seconds, and then they would just move over. And I'm like, hey, Glenn, you can't do that. Well, that's my chair. I go, you can't intimidate. I'm not doing anything. I don't say anything. I go, you don't have to. You just look like death. And now, it may, you know, Glenn's like, that's my chair. And it may be as simple as a chair, or maybe a lot more than that. But I think sometimes when things don't go right or the way we want them to in our church, we can allow that attitude or that disloyalty to start to pick up. Maybe it's because, man, why doesn't Pastor Rob preach more verse by verse? The church I came from, think verse by verse, and that's the way it should be. Why doesn't he use this translation? Why isn't the worship longer? Why isn't it shorter? Why isn't the children's ministry like that? Why did they spend money on that? Why are we raising money for that? Why are we doing this? And what we do when we see something we don't like, sometimes we let the attitude come inside of us, and it begins to pick up, and sometimes it begins to even seep out of our life. I see it happen all the time in churches, and it's really ugly, and it's so far from what God has for our life. And here's the thing. People notice your attitude, but so does God. People see your attitude, but so does God. Do not think for a moment that it goes unnoticed by God. Because here's the reality. God responds to our responses. Say it out loud with me. God responds to our responses. He watches our attitude. When something doesn't go right at the church that we call home, in this case, Next Level Church, a phenomenal church, God sees our response. When something doesn't go right, and can I give you a clue? It's not ever going to all go right at Next Level Church. Let me help you out. Pastor Rob's going to let you down. Certain pastor's not going to visit you when you're in the hospital. Some leader's not going to do something. A decision's going to be made that you don't like. I promise you that's going to happen. And we have to understand, when it inevitably does, what is our response? Because God, help me out, responds to our what? He always responds to our responses. Let me give you a little story in the Bible. In Numbers, if you have a Bible, go to Numbers 13. If you got a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, next time you're at a hotel, get one. I've got about 50 of them. It's unbelievable. Got a whole trunk load. I sell them. A little extra money. Let me show you in Numbers what the story is all about. Now, there's a story about a dude named Moses. And Moses goes over to this area where in the area of Egypt, and he frees all these slaves that were Israelites. They were people of Israel. And he freed them all from the hands of the Egyptians, thousands of them. And God told Moses, free them and then take them to a promised land. Now, what does a promised land mean? It means it was going to be like going from a third world country to landing in America, where it's like there was prosperity and the possibility of riches. And so they went from slavery. They're on their way to go find a promised land. They couldn't find it. They're wandering around forever. Finally, they get close. Moses, the pastor of the tribe, they didn't call it a church then, they actually called it a tribe, brought the 12 tribe leaders together. The leaders told the 12 of them, hey, I'll stay here with the other thousands of people. You go spy out the land and come back and tell me what you found. It's over the mountain. They go and they spy out the land. They come back. Ten of them give a report, and the other two give a total opposite report. Now, what I want to show you is this. You're either one of the 10, or you're either one of the two. But understand, same circumstance, they all saw the same stuff, all 12 of them witnessed the same stuff, 10 of them had a certain sort of attitude and feel and response, and the other two had a different response. And you have to decide which one that you're going to be this morning. But understand, whichever one you are, God, help me out, responds to our what? He's going to respond to one of those responses. Let me show you. So let's talk about the 10 for a moment. What happened with the 10? Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Now, this is the 10. This was their report, the 10 of them, to Moses. We entered the land you sent to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. Now, the 10 come back. There's 12 of them that were there, but 10 of them come back, and they come back. Now, we don't have time to go into it, and they're really negative. And they say, man, Pastor Moses, leader of the tribe, this was a dumb idea. Why would you tell us that? There's armies there that we'll never defeat. How can we ever take this land? This was dumb. And they get negative towards Moses. They get negative towards each other. They get critical. They get judgmental. They start attacking all over the place. And it gets really, really ugly. In addition to that, getting really, really ugly, let me jump down to the next verse in Numbers chapter 13, verse 32. Look what it says in verse 32. So they spread this, what's the next two words? Bad report about the land among the Israelites. We'll just stop there. Stay with me in the story. 12 go and look at the land. Now two, we'll get to those in a moment, but 10 of them come back and they're negative and they're critical. It'll never work. This was a dumb idea. Why did you bring us over here? And then it says they spread this bad report about what they saw to all the other people. Now, all the other people didn't see. They didn't know what was going on. But doesn't that sound a lot like modern day? Hey, man, I don't really like what's going on. Do you like what's going on? That was a bad idea. I don't know why we would do that. We should be more like, and they begin to get negative. You know what it is? They're not only being negative, they're being toxic. Say toxic. They're poisoning everybody else, and they're getting them all mad and negative and critical because they saw something. Hold on. Stay with me. They saw something they didn't like, and not only did they not like it, they wanted everybody else not to like what they didn't like. Man, I'm telling you, I travel a lot. I see a lot of churches. It sounds like a lot of churches. I see something I don't like, I'm going to be critical about it, and I'm going to go and spread it and be toxic and see if I can get other people not to like it as well. It's exactly what happened with these 10. It was an ugly scene. Understand something. Attitude is never content until it's expressed. It will come out. So if you don't guard your heart and guard your mind, understand the attitude will always come out. Now, let's go over to the two spies over here. Totally different. Their names are Caleb and Joshua. Let's see what their response is in Numbers 14, verse 7 through 9. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are all helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Totally different. They all 12 see the same thing. 10 don't like what they saw, so they go and get everybody else not to like it too, because it isn't the way that they would do it. But the two, they come back and go, "We can do this. Moses, we'll follow you. We're with you. We're one as a team. We can conquer that army. We can take the land God promised to us. Let's go for broke, man. Let's go all out." They were all in. Same circumstance, two totally different responses. You know, I was in a McDonald's a while back. You know, people always, I love that, because I try to eat healthy, but I actually have to admit to you, I was only there using an ATM, so I went in there to use the ATM. No, I went in there, and I have no idea what was happening up to that point, but there was a girl behind the counter. Her name was Tiffany, I think, and she was like a 17-year-old girl taking the order, and there was a businessman standing there. And I don't know what happened up to that point. I have no idea what the conversation was like. All I know is I went and I stood in line behind the businessman. And this is all I heard. The businessman was looking at Tiffany. She was starting to cry, the little 17-year-old McDonald's worker. And all I heard him say was, "You are so incompetent. Can't you do anything right? I wanted a large, not a medium. Don't you listen?" And she is just crying. And I can't, negative people drive me nuts. And so when he walked away, I tripped him. And I was like, a little karate kid, the whole thing. And so I walk up there, and she's just got a, you know, she's crying. It was the saddest thing. She's like, "Welcome to McDonald's. Do you want a Happy Meal?" You know, and I'm like, I go, "Tiffany, you're doing such a good job. McDonald's is so lucky to have you." I was telling her all this. "You are doing so amazing." The manager was walking by right at that moment. I leaned over and I tapped him on the shoulder. I go, "Did you hire Tiffany?" He didn't know whether to claim her or not. He's like, "I don't know. She just showed up and started pushing buttons." And I said, Did you? And he goes, "Yeah, I hired her." And I go, "Oh, man, you made the best decision. I travel all over the world. She is the best McDonald's worker I've ever seen." Oh, my. Her attitude changed. Her tears dried up. I got a free fry. Things were happening. I go over there, I sit and eat my meal, and I watch little Tiffany start to serve the other people, and her attitude's just totally different. I just thought, I didn't do anything special. Same person, same restaurant, same line. One came in all toxic, the other one chose not to come in toxic, and the outcome was completely different. And I think it's the same thing in the local church. Same circumstance, same view. Come in, we can be toxic, we can get upset, we can talk a little bit, gossip a little bit. If I don't like this, I don't like that. Or we can come in and just say, "You know what, I may not always see eye to eye, but here at Next Level Church, we will walk hand in hand and watch what God does." That's the way the two operated, and it changed everything. Now let's go to verse 10 real quick. "But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb." Now, think about this. This whole community never even saw the armies, never even went to the promised land. All they did was believe the 10 people. So they believed a bunch of gossip and critical and negative and toxic attitude. Then they jumped in, yeah, we don't like it either. Oh, this is stupid. Let's kill them. And they wanted to kill the positive people. Because that's what negative people usually do. They come and kill the positive. They always tear down your dreams to a level that's comfortable themselves. They always do that. Because your desire for excellence threatens their mediocrity. Negative people always do that. And so they're being negative, they're being critical, they're being judgmental, and now they're so worked up, they literally want to kill the guy and crucify him, stone the guy. It's so crazy. Now, here's the thing. What is the lesson in this? Here it is. Be stronger than the weakness around you. You got to be stronger than the weakness around you. You know why? Because people are going to come up and they're going to say, man, what something about this church. Or they're going to take a verbal swing at Pastor Rob or Monica or one of the staff, or a verbal swing at a volunteer or the building campaign or the this or the that. They're going to come and they're going to take a verbal swing, and either you jump in with them or you put your hand up and say, that's not how we operate at this church. You have a choice. That's the choice that you get to make. We're not going to do that. They may do that at other churches, and they may do that at your workplace, but not here. The Bible says a kingdom or a church divided against itself will never stand. We're not going to allow verbal swings. You know what? Faithfulness says, I won't talk bad about you. Loyalty says, I won't let anybody else talk bad about you. It's another level. You know, I think it's always interesting because people come up to me all the time, Pastor Chris, I don't gossip. I don't. People just come to me for some reason. I think they find me as a safe place to share their feelings. No. The reason they keep coming to you gossiping is because you don't shut them up. If you tell them to be quiet, that'll be the end of it. But when we don't do that, they're going to keep coming back. I want to encourage you. I believe in Next Level Church. I think that I was here a few years ago, spoke here a few years ago. This is not even the same church. You guys are amazing people. You have an amazing pastor. And God wants you not only to touch the people in this community, but to touch this world. The sky is the limit for this church. If you guys will walk together, if you will move together and be in alignment together and refuse to allow anybody to take a verbal swing, it doesn't mean we're not going to see eye to eye, but we're going to walk hand in hand. That's what Next Level Church has to do. Do that and you'll win. If you do this, I promise you this church will win. And I promise you, you will win in your personal life. Because as I shared with you, God responds, help me out, to what? Our responses. Now, let me show you how God responds. Remember, 10 of them were all negative and toxic. You don't think it's a big deal, let me show you. Then the other two were totally different. They're like, man, no, we defend Moses, we defend each other. We're one tribe. Come on, let's march together. Let's, totally different. Disloyal, loyal. Negative, positive. Toxic, totally healthy. Doesn't mean we're not going to agree. But if we disagree, by the way, a little time out here, you go to the person, you work it out, and then you move on in love. Matthew chapter 18. But Jesus said, they'll know you're my believers by your love for one another. By the way, you love each other. Now look what happens to the 10. God responds to our responses. Look what happens to the 10. Verse 21. Look what the Lord says to the 10. But as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me, the Lord says, with contempt, will ever see it. Interestingly, the 10 that were toxic and negative, the Lord comes in and says, okay, because you were toxic and because you were negative. Now, it says, you had contempt against me. The 10, nowhere in the Bible does the 10 say they shake the fist at God. This is what God was saying. You know what? God was saying this. You're not criminals, and you're not lying, and you're not thieves. You're not adulterers or idolaters. You're nothing like that. But let me tell you what you are. You are toxic and you are negative and you're spreading ugliness among my people, and I'm not going to tolerate it. And then he steps in and he goes, and for you right here, you will never get into the promised land, and either will your children. You know what God was saying? You're not going to get all I have for your life. That's what he said to them. Not because they were criminals or thieves or murderers. They weren't any of those things. But you're not going to get everything I have for your life. Now look what over the 10. The two over here. Look at the two over here. It says in verse, let's drop down to verse 24. But my servant Caleb, and he was talking about Joshua and Caleb, has a different what? Than the others. He has remained what? Loyal. There's the word, loyal to me. An attitude showing up right there in the verse. He says, so I will bring them into the land explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. You guys, man, are you catching this? He looks to the two that were outrageously positive. We're continuing to be loyal. We're continuing to be healthy. We're continuing to march together as one, continue to be supportive and all in. He looks at those two and he goes, you get everything. You get the promises that I have for your life and the promised land, and so were your children. You over here, you get nothing. You over here, you get everything. Why? Because God would say, I'm responding to your response. God responds to our responses. I cannot encourage you enough. Man, decide right now today. Today. Today's not just another Sunday. It may be to you. But what if today was the day that propelled this church to a level it's never even seen? Why? Because we just decided we would be one. We got a problem with each other, we go in love, but we don't gossip. We got a problem with the pastor, we go in love, but we do not gossip. We got a problem with something that goes down, it doesn't mean we pick up our toys and go to someone else's sandbox. We just decide to be like the two that say, man, we're going to be loyal, we're going to have an uncommonly incredible attitude, and we're going to be healthy in our relationships, and we're going to have alignment. And then what does God do? And then I'll give you all the promises. Oh, and your kids will be blessed too. Oh, and their kids will be blessed too. That's what God says. You got a choice. You have a choice. When I was a youth pastor years ago, feels like right after the birth of Christ, and I was a youth pastor, and our youth group ended up growing really big. It was bigger than the church. It was huge. And we took over the auditorium, and it was just amazing what God did. But in the middle of all that, there was this girl named Jennifer that went to the youth group. She was 14 years old. She was ninth grade, 14 years old, ninth grade, and she was 6'1". And shy as ever. When I would talk to her, which was like this, she would always be, hi, Chris, how you doing? I go, I'm doing good. Okay. You know, just quiet as ever. She came up to me one time. I live 10 miles away, and I want to bring people to church, but I'll need a ride. I go, if you get someone to come to church, you call me Tuesday before the youth group, a few hours before. I'll get a car to go pick you up. Sure enough, next Tuesday she calls. Pastor Chris, I'm on the phone. Yeah. And she goes, I got four friends coming to church. I'm thinking in my mind, time out. I didn't even know you had four friends. You know, you don't ever talk. And she goes, I got four friends coming to church. I said, okay. I said, we'll send a car there. So we send a car there. Sure enough, there's four or five friends there. We pick them up. Long story short, this goes on a couple more weeks. She calls me up one day. She goes, Pastor Chris, I got 15 friends coming. Do you have a van? I'm like, a van? Yeah, let me look at the fleet outside the window. No, I got a van. And I said, well, I'll get one. So I found a van, some big old passenger van, some person-owned, and we went and picked up 15 kids in our front yard. Then it went to two vans with 30 kids. Then, I'll never forget one day she calls me up. She goes, Pastor Chris, I have 60 friends coming. Do you have a bus? I'm like, a bus? Who has a bus, you know? And so I called the school. I go, I'll figure something out. Just have them there at 6:30. We'll get them picked up. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I started calling the school system. They're like, the school district said, oh, yeah, you can rent a bus for $350 right now. You know, we'll put a driver in there. So I went and talked to the pastor. He's like, we don't have any money. I'm like, I don't have any money. So I want to thank Jennifer Gonzalez. I've never met her, but I used her credit card. She's a very generous lady. So we got the bus. We picked up the kids. This goes on for a few more weeks. I'll never forget. She goes, I have 100 kids coming. Can you get two buses? I'm like, in the world, you don't even talk to anybody. How is this possible? So I pull around the corner. There wasn't 100 kids there. There was 121 kids there. 121 kids pack onto these two buses, and we're riding down the bus. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable what this girl Jennifer did. So what do you do with a story like that? You exploit it. So here's what I did. I was speaking at this youth pastor conference. There's like 500 youth pastors in the room, and I'm speaking away, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling the story about Jennifer. Everybody's, whoa, wow. They're all amazed by this girl, Jennifer. And I said, Jennifer's here, and come on, everybody applaud. She comes walking up, you know. And it's one of those stages where they have, like, steps, and I was on one of the middle steps. She comes and stands next to me on the step above me. So you're already 6'1". Now she's like 6'6", you know. And everybody's applauding, and she's just like this, towering over me, and she's like, and I said, Jennifer, you just heard the story. Everybody's amazed by what you did, man. 120 kids in one shot. You brought over, in 1 year, you brought over 200 different kids to the youth group. High school students. How'd you do it, man? We just want to know. It's amazing. Everybody's leaning in. They got notes. Everybody wants to hear what she has to say. I go, how'd you do it? You're like, this is what she does. I invite them, and then they come. That was it. That was a revolutionary way to get people to church. Now, this went on for a couple more months until one Tuesday afternoon, the pastor, I was the youth pastor at the time, the senior pastor brought me in and said, hey, he goes, tonight you need to tell the kids this is the last night we're doing the bus. No more spending money on it. We don't have the money. I was like, you want me to tell the 120 kids we can't pick them up for church next week? And he goes, yeah. So it was a nightmare night for me. I had to tell the kids that was it. Boom, instantly we lost 120 kids in our youth group. Couldn't figure out how to do it. I tried to raise the money. I did everything I could. You know, we just couldn't get. And I was so angry. I was a 28-year-old youth pastor. I was so angry at the pastor. I was like, how can you do that? Don't you care? You know, and I got so mad. I got resentful. Three or four months into it, I was just getting so resentful. And finally, man, I was just spending some time in prayer, and God just stopped me, and he goes, wait a minute. I put him in charge. He's the lead pastor. That's the decision he made. Then his decision he made. You're not him. You are not in charge to replace what I put in place. So don't do that. And watch your heart. You see what God really spoke to me was this? He said, you got to watch your heart. You got to watch your mind. Can I give you some encouragement here? If we wrap this up, here's what I want to tell you today. Watch your heart. Watch your mind. Don't go down a negative, toxic trail. Something that is sweet that goes sour is very difficult that it ever becomes sweet again. Don't let your attitude or your spirit ever go that way. You just decide right now, in November of 2018, this is the month that we just united as a church like never before. Absolutely loving each other, caring for each other. If there's indifferences, then we work it out in love. We support the pastor. We support his wife. We support the team. And we march towards all that God has. You do that, this church will explode beyond anything you would imagine. And if you do that, watch what God will do in your life, because God responds to our responses. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Watch what God does. Would you join me in prayer? Would you just close your eyes with me? And I don't want to rush past this moment. I don't. I really want you to just stop. Don't think. Don't need to worry about where you're going after church or what's going to happen in a few minutes. Would you just, for a moment, get in touch with God? Lord, I pray you would touch our hearts. I pray if there's any ill will in us, God, if there's any negative, toxic something in us, God, change it, fix it, clean it out of our hearts, God, and out of our minds. Help us, Lord, God, and that your presence, I pray, God, would rule and reign over Next Level Church. And God, that this church would begin to march to a different drum, a drum of alignment and health. God, a drumbeat of unity, God. I pray that would happen. Would you do me a favor? Would you, I think we should just say a prayer together. Would you take your right hand, put it over your heart right now? And I want you to say this out loud. I mean out loud. And just you and God, you don't need to look around. It's just you and God moment. All got our eyes closed. It's just an us and God moment. I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, Jesus, take my heart. Take, or critical, remove it out of my life. Today, I want my heart to be aligned with the vision of this church and with you. Today's a new day for my life. Wash me clean. If I've gotten off track, if I've said anything bad, today's a new day, and we are going to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you do me a favor?
If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.